In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son into the world so that the world might be redeemed, that the world might be reconsecrated to you, that all the peoples of the world would praise and glorify you. He came into a broken world, and after having offered his life for you, for us, he obtained for us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray, our Heavenly Father, that the fruits of his redemption will be manifested in our world today, that you would send the Holy Spirit and renew the whole world. And we ask your special blessing upon our reflection and our prayers to you today for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Prompt Succor, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, Saint Joseph, Saint Norbert, Blessed Saint Faustina, Blessed Dina, and all your saints and angels, in the name of Jesus the Lord. So we continue with the sequence. I will just read the first verses that we have already done and then go on from there. Holy Spirit, Lord divine, come from heights of heaven and shine. Come with blessed radiance bright. Come, O Father of the poor. Come, whose treasured gifts ensure. Come, our hearts' unfailing light. O consolers of consolers, wisest, best, and our soul's most welcome guest, sweet refreshment, sweet repose. In our labor, rest most sweet, pleasant coolness in the heat, consolation in our woes. Light most blessed, shine with grace in our heart's most secret place. Fill your faithful through and through. Again, we refer to the Holy Spirit as light. Light was the first gift of God in the creation of the world. Light was created separately from the sun and the moon and the stars. They were created on the third day. And so light is an entity by itself, and light must be there before anything else develops in our lives. Let there be light. How wonderful it is to hear about conversions. And often they will say, I finally saw the light. They saw themselves as they were, but they also saw the mercy of God. When we are given to see ourselves as we are, We must be careful not to stay there. The Holy Spirit has more for us. Sometimes our friends or people who are not so friendly are always telling us of our defects. And they stop there. They don't tell us about the qualities that God has given us. They only tell us of our defects. And that's very destructive. And we all make these mistakes with each other. And we know how unproductive that kind of behavior is. Yes, we can help someone to see their faults, but always remembering that they're not just a bunch of faults, that the Lord has not piled up on them all the defects and the faults. He has also given them gifts, special gifts. But because sometimes we see only the defects become a screen that prevent us from seeing the beauty and the goodness of the persons. And so that's why light is very important. We need light. The light that shows us to ourselves, but also shows us the mercy of God, the goodness of God, and also gives us that hope that no matter how wretched I am, I can become a saint. So light most blessed, shine with grace in our heart's most secret place. So Holy Spirit, there are secret places in our hearts, places that we can't even discover. But come with your grace, with your healing grace, so that as we come to see what's in our hearts that needs to be healed, that you bring with you the grace, the healing grace. So light most blessed, shine with grace in our heart's most secret place. Fill your faithful through and through. One has to be somewhat bold to request, to make such a request. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. But again, to bring the grace that I will need to accept myself as I am and to accept God's healing salvation. Left without your presence here, life itself would disappear. Nothing thrives apart from you. We go back to the description, the second description of creation. In the first account of creation, it simply says, God said, let us make man to our image and likeness. But in the second account, we find that God formed us from the clay. And after having formed us, that he breathed into us the breath of life. There is no life unless the Holy Spirit is allowed to be breathed in, as it were. And the saints speak of prayer as breathing. It's like inhaling. It's like welcoming constantly the Holy Spirit in everything we do, in everything we think, everything we say. Never thinking for one moment that we can do anything good without him. And sometimes the Lord gives us the opportunity to feel helpless. Before I came here, a man phoned me who is in a terrible, terrible state. And he has been like this for 5 years. It seems there's nobody that can help him, even though he has prayed and done everything that one should do to help themselves. And so the Lord allows us to feel this total helplessness. What can I say to this man? How can I find the words to help him when so many people have already been there, holy people, good people? Left without your presence here, life itself would disappear. Nothing thrives apart from you. And it reminds us of the psalm where it says, you take their breath away and they die. And the Lord sometimes takes our breath away and we feel so helpless, so totally helpless. But we must be patient and turn to the Lord like David in Psalm 51 and say, do not deprive me of your presence. Do not deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Man rejected the Holy Spirit in the beginning and listened to the evil spirit, the spirit of lies. Now God had to allow him to return into dust. We don't really have to go back into dust. But God has to make a point. Death finds us totally unarmed. Death finds us totally confounded. Death is returning to dust. You take their breath away and they return into dust. You are dust and you shall return into dust. That dust without the Holy Spirit, we without the Holy Spirit are nothing. Let us not think that we are so good. And even when we see our brothers who are not so good, let us not put them down, because they can't be good unless they have the Holy Spirit. Neither can we. Everything depends on the Holy Spirit. Soul of my soul, life of my life, we say in the prayer. Nothing thrives apart from you. We could turn this around and we could say, everything thrives when you are there. When you are there, our consoler, our advocate, our paraclete, spirit of truth, spirit of love. Cleanse our soiled hearts of sin, arid souls refresh within, wounded lives to health restore. Today there's a conflict in a way because of psychology that has become a science, an important science, to understand human behavior. But the danger would be to think that psychology can actually do everything for us. Psychology can only help us in as much as God gives them to help us. Even when we see a doctor for a physical ailment, we're still dependent on God. We're dependent on the Spirit to guide. Cleanse our soiled hearts of sin. Not to be afraid to admit that we have a heart that is soiled. And it's much easier for me to accept that I have a heart that is soiled if I know that it can be cleansed. Instead of wearing a mask and denying that there's anything wrong with me. Cleanse our soiled hearts of sin. Yes, cleanse our soiled hearts of sin. Jesus tells us there's all kinds of things in our hearts that come from the heart. Adultery, greed, jealousies, envy. They're all buried there in our hearts. And they soil our hearts. They soil our relationships. They create division. Prevent us from being united with God and with one another. Oh, we say, well, I'm united with God. But I can't be united with God if I'm not united with my brother and sister. It's easy for me to say, I say my prayers and I love God. But as St. John says, if you say you love God, you don't love your sister, you're a liar. You're lying to yourself. Cleanse our soiled hearts of sin. Arid souls refresh within. In Psalm 23, we say, He leads me in the green pastures and lets me lie there, leads me to the waters of repose. To revive my drooping spirit. And so our souls need to be revived. And they need to be refreshed. Because the flesh is a burden for our souls. Our flesh has so many desires. that fight against the spirit, against the soul. And so where will we find the refreshment that we need except the Holy Spirit? Wounded lives to health restore. How we need the Holy Spirit. Who is going to restore all these wounded lives that have been abused, that have felt rejected, or maybe they have committed grave and serious sins that they can't forget, they've made mistakes. Who is going to heal this, restore these people to health? Wounded lives. How many wounded lives? To health restore. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide the wayward home once more. Bend the stubborn heart and will. It's as if the Lord had given us some animals to remind us of how we have become. So we use the expression stubborn as a mule. Because it's very hard to get a mule to move if it doesn't want to move, or a donkey. Bend the stubborn heart and will. In our pride, we can be so stubborn and put limits even on what God could do in our lives. We just say, no, I am not going to do this. And if we would say yes, by the grace of God, we would find that the burden is light and the yoke is easy. But we're so stubborn. But the Holy Spirit can do something about that. And again, that is our hope. It's like the Lord is giving us the Holy Spirit. And He says, I know what your problems are. I know what's wrong with you. Am I not a good physician? Don't I know the remedy that will take care of all of your misery, of your ailments? No wonder Jesus says the only sin that will not be forgiven is the sin against the Holy Spirit. It's refusing the remedy. A remedy that Jesus concocted, we could say, by shedding His blood. It's all done already. It's all together. He says every sin will be forgiven except the sin against the Holy Spirit. But if you refuse to accept the Holy Spirit to cleanse your soiled hearts of sin, to restore health to your wounded lives, to bend your stubborn heart and will, then there's no hope for you. Bend the stubborn heart and will. Holy Spirit can even do this. And when St. Augustine says you make the unwilling willing, he's referring to Pentecost. He's referring to the power of the Holy Spirit to make the unwilling willing. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Again, the remedy works both for both sort of ailments. We can be frozen. We can be so cold. And the Lord can melt our hearts. The Holy Spirit can melt us. I think of abortionists who now have become so respectful of this new life that's born in the womb of the mother. They were frozen, solid, yet they were melted. But sometimes we're not frozen, but we're chilled. We're not as warm as we could be towards God, towards one another. But the Holy Spirit is a remedy also for that. The Holy Spirit covers everything. He will even take the chill away from our hearts. Guide the wayward home once more. How many prodigal children today? Were asked to have their life given to them. They didn't want the father to take care of them. They said, "Give me my life." And they went on their own. They went away from home, from the protection of a God they used to pray to. How many families who used to be with God and have allowed a stranger to come in the house to tell them how to live their lives? And they turn God off to listen to this stranger. And he has taught them to be lustful. He has taught them to be proud, to be greedy. He has taught them to hate. He's taught them violence. He taught them to reject God. How many wayward brothers and sisters, families, whole nations? Yes, give me my inheritance, give me my life. I don't need you. Let me do what I want with my life. And where are we? How are we doing away from home? It's interesting that in the 60s, one of the great concerns was children leaving home, literally, to live on the streets. But guide the wayward home once more. Why do we say once more? It's like it's happened before. We've gone astray before as we look back on our history. But the Holy Spirit does not count the number of times that the church has gone astray or that we've gone astray. If we're lost, He will help us to be found. Guide the wayward home once more. Yes, we need a new Pentecost. And we pray for this new Pentecost. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She's gathering a little cohort to gather them in the upper room. She doesn't want to be alone. She wants her apostles. She wants her disciples, the disciples of Jesus. She wants us to consecrate ourselves to her so that she can guide us, especially to guide us to pray with her. Pray, 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 she will say. And why are we praying? For the new Pentecost. Our triumph will be the triumph of Pentecost. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did come down. And He will come down again today. And this time it will be a triumph, greater triumph, because it will be more universal. But even then, there was already a sign that the nations would be converted. There were 3,000 people who were baptized that day who came from every nation known at that time. This is not just for Catholics. This is for everyone. On the faithful who are true and profess their faith in You, in Your sevenfold gift descend. Those who profess their faith in You. Today, Holy Spirit, during this retreat, we want to profess our faith in You. We have no faith in ourselves. We only have faith in You. We believe. That You are our only hope today. We're not going to seek anywhere else the remedy to our ailments. We're not going to sin against the Holy Spirit and be frightened and be despondent and frustrated and anguished. We're going to pray with our Blessed Mother and all our brothers and sisters who are true to You. And You will come. We're not going to complain if you wait, if you allow, if you let us wait, if you delay. Like the watchman that waits for the dawn, we're going to wait for you. We are like a sailboat. We don't have any paddles. We don't have a motor. We depend on the wind. And so we're putting up our sail and waiting for the wind. And the wind will come. We know you will come. Our Blessed Mother has gathered us together as our little cohort. And many are praying with her. She has led them to come to Jesus in the Eucharist, the greatest source of our salvation. Everything is so that you would come. And so we anxiously, with joyful hope, await your coming. We need your gifts. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need understanding. We need counsel. We need fortitude. We need piety. We need the fear of the Lord. And the faithful who are true profess their faith in you and your sevenfold gift, descent. Give us virtue's sure reward. Give us your salvation, Lord. Give us joys that never end. We think of the words of Jesus, I have said these things to you so that your joy may be complete. How could we have complete joy when our hearts are so soiled? How can we have any joy when we're so wounded? When we're so stubborn of heart? When we are frozen, when we are chilled, when we have lost our way. And so we await for you. So that we will become virtuous and receive the reward of virtue. We await for you. Because you are our salvation, our only hope. So that we may share in these joys that don't pass away anymore, but stay with us because our hearts will be full of your love, of your truth, of your light.